Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem of Avraham Goldhar and Dimer Zechus Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin, the fourth parak Hocholos Kevimto. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis had stated, Safek Ben Tishul Rishon, Safek Ben Shiva LaAchron, Yotzi Ba'Avod Kasher V'Chayevim Ba'Ashem Talui. If the child is possibly the 9-month-old baby of the deceased brother, or possibly the 7-month-old baby of the Yavam must divorce the Yavam. The child is kosher to marry a Jew, and they're obligated to bring an Ashem Talui. On this stuff, Rabbah asked Rav Nachman, let us say we go after most women, and the majority give birth at 9 months, making this the child of the deceased brother, and the Yavam and Yavama will have transgressed the Isser of Eshes Ach, making them liable in a Chattas, not an Ashem. Rav Nachman answered that since Rov Yodos Letisha Ubara Nikol Shlish, in the case of most women who give birth at 9 months, her fetus is noticeable at a third of her days, and since in the case of the Yavama, her fetus was not noticeable at 3 months, Yisro Leiruba, going according to the majority in her case, is weakened with respect to her. Point number two, Rebbe Lezmi Yaakov said, Yisa Adam Isha B'Medina Zo, the Yelchim Yisa Isha B'Medina Acheres. A man should not marry a woman in one state, and then marry a woman in another state, lest their children from these two marriages come together, resulting in a brother marrying a sister. The Gemara asks if this is so, given that certain Amorim took wives in different states to maintain their level of purity while traveling. Whenever Rav or Rav Nachman would visit a place, they would seek a woman who would be willing to marry them for the days they were there and then get divorced. The Gemara answers, Shani Rabban to the Ki of Shemaya. The Rabbanim were different because they were famous, so the children would be well known as their offspring. When Rav asked how this was possible, given that the women were required to observe 7 clean days before the wedding, the Gemara answers the rabbis would send messengers 7 days in advance so the woman could prepare. Another answer was that the rabbis would only live privately with them, but would not engage in marital relations. Because there is no comparison between one who has bread in his basket to one who has no bread in his basket. And point number three, on this topic, the Gemara brings the first 4 of 8 cases regarding disputes of inheritance that can result when there is a suffix if the child is a 9-month baby of the deceased brother or the 7th-month baby of the Yavam. The first case is suffix v'yavam shabal al-chalak b'nichse misna. The Suffolk child and the Yavam come to take possession of the estate of the deceased brother. The Suffolk child says that he's the son of the deceased brother, and therefore the estate is his. The Yavam claims that the Suffolk child is his son, and that he has no right in the estate. This is a case of Mamun HaMutu B'Suffolk, money that lies in doubt, since both sides have legitimate claims, Mamun HaMutu B'Suffolk Chokin, and money that lies in doubt is divided between the parties. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. The Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis had stated, Safek ben Tishul Rishon, Safek ben Shiva LaAchron, Yotzi v'Vlad Kasher, v'Chayavim v'Ashem Talui. If the child is possibly the 9-month-old baby of the deceased brother, or possibly the 7th-month-old baby of the Yavam must divorce the Yavam, the child is kosher to marry a Jew, and they're obligated to bring an Ashem Talui. On this stuff, Rava asks from Rav Nachman, let us say we go after most women, and the majority give birth at 9 months, making this the child of the deceased brother, and the Yavam and Yavama will have transgressed the Isser of Eshes Ach, making them liable in a Chattas, not an Ashem. Rav Nachman answered that since Rov Yodos Letisha Ubara Nikol Shlish, in the case of most women who give birth at 9 months, her fetus is noticeable at a third of her days, and since in the case of the Yavama, her fetus was not noticeable at 3 months, Yisro Leiruba, going according to the majority in her case, is weakened with respect to her. Point number 2, Rebbe Lezmi Yaakov said, Yisa Adam Isha B'Medina Zo, the Yelchim Yisa Isha B'Medina Acheres. A man should not marry a woman in one state, and then marry a woman in another state, lest their children from these two marriages come together, resulting in a brother marrying a sister. The Gemara asks if this is so, given that certain Amorim took wives in different states to maintain their level of purity while traveling. Whenever Rav or Rav Nachman would visit a place, they would seek a woman who would be willing to marry them for the days they were there and then get divorced. The Gemara answers, Shani Rabban to the Ki of Shemaya. The Rabbanim were different because they were famous, so the children would be well known as their offspring. When Rav asked how this was possible, given that the women were required to observe 7 clean days before the wedding, the Gemara answers the rabbis would send messengers 7 days in advance so the woman could prepare. Another answer was that the rabbis would only live privately with them, but would not engage in marital relations. Because there is no comparison between one who has bread in his basket to one who has no bread in his basket. And point number 3, on this topic, the Gemara brings the first 4 of 8 cases regarding disputes of inheritance that can result when there is a suffix if the child is a 9-month baby of the deceased brother or the 7th-month baby of the Yavam. The first case is suffix v'yavam shabal al-chalak b'nichse misna. The suffix child and the Yavam come to take possession of the estate of the deceased brother. The suffix child says that he's the son of the deceased brother, and therefore the estate is his. The Yavam claims that the Safek child is his son and that he has no right in the estate. This is a case of Mamun HaMutuba Safek money that lies in doubt, since both sides have legitimate claims, Mamun HaMutuba Safek Chokin, and money that lies in doubt is divided between the parties. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin, and our standard simmon is laser tag. Laser tag. So here goes. When the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for one day, who left to go back and judge an inheritance case involving a Safek child and a Yavam. Once again, it's a motion. When the pregnant woman playing laser tag, that must be more in Daf Lamed Zayin. When the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were... Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis had said that if a child is possibly the nine-month-old baby of the deceased brother, or possibly the seven-month-old baby of the Yavam must divorce the Yavam, but the child is kosher to marry a Jew, and they're chayav to bring an Ashen Talia. On this Daf, Rav Nachman explained that even though the majority of women give birth at 9 months, making this the child of the deceased brother and the Yavam and Yavamah who have transgressed the Isra of Eishes Ach, making them liable on Achatas, since most women who give birth at 9 months are showing at the first trimester, in this case of the Yavam, her fetus was not noticeable at 3 months, and therefore Isra Leruba, going according to the majority in her case, is weakened with respect to her. So, when the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for one day, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how Rav and Rav Nachman could marry women in the place they visited and then divorce them when they left, and there was no concern that their children would unknowingly marry each other. So, when the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for one day, who left to go back and judge an inheritance case involving a Safek child and a Yavam. Which reminds us, the first of 8 cases dealing with disputes in inheritance is the case when the Safek child and the Yavam come to take possession of the estate of the deceased brother. The Safek child says that he's the son of the deceased brother, and therefore the estate is his. The Yavam claims that the Safek child is his son, and that he has no right in the estate. So this is a case of Mamun HaMutuba Safek, money that lies in doubt. And since both sides have legitimate claims, Mamun HaMutuba Safek Chokin, money that lies in doubt, is divided between the parties. So once again, when the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for one day, who left to go back and judge an inheritance case involving a Safek child and a Yavam. All right, now it's time for 4 Blah Blah Chazara. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simmon Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate. Peg leg pirate? That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate who was caught doing 2 prohibitions at once as he served in the temple on Shabbos, which reminds us, the Gemara goes to an extensive analysis of what the Malchokes between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kampara is based on, and concludes they're disagreeing Be'isr Babas Achas Valiba the Rabbi Shimon in regard to simultaneous prohibitions, which are prohibitions that come into being for a person at the same time, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Chiya, even Rabbi Shimon, who rejects the principle of Isr Kolel and Isr Mosif, would agree that the prohibitions that occur at the same time take effect, since neither in his position to block the other from taking effect. According to Bar Kampara, Rabbi Shimon also rejects the principle of Be'isr B'bas Achas, simultaneous prohibitions taking effect. So, the peg-leg pirate who was caught doing 2 prohibitions at once as he served in the temple on Shabbos and was told he was going to be buried among the complete Rishayim, even though he just did an Isr Ba'alma, which reminds us, Gemara asks in reference to the case of Azar Shishimish B'Shabbos, what avodah did the Azar do on Shabbos? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, B'shchit is parashal Kohen Gadol, shechting the Kohen Gadol's bull on Yom Kippur, according to the one who holds that Azar may not do it. When the Gemara notes that even an ordinary Kohen is not permitted to do so, it answers that Azar in this context refers to someone who is not a Kohen in regard to this avodah. Rav Ashi objected to this answer, since Achatas was not mentioned in Rav Yossi's ruling, and neither were any negative mitzvahs. Rather, Isr Ba'alma Kachashim, it refers to general prohibitions, even if they do not result in Achatas or Malkus. The Nafka Mina is regard to Lekavru Bein Rishayim Gemurim, to burying him among complete Rishayim. According to Rabbi Yossi, he's buried among complete Rishayim in a cemetery for those who are stoned or burned. So, the peg-leg pirate was caught doing 2 prohibitions at once as he served in the temple on Shabbos and was told he was going to be buried among the complete Rishayim, even though he just did an Isr Ba'alma. Random was Mekadosh a woman whom he accidentally exchanged with another at the time of her chuppah. Which reminds us, so the Gemara clarifies that when the next Mishnah brings a case of two men who were mekadesh two women and says that at the time of the chuppah, they exchanged wives, which implies b'mezid, that the Mishnah should be amended to read huchlifu, they were exchanged, b'shoge. So the Simur Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder, that must mean we're in Daf Lamed Daled. The tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder, eating chelov that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, which reminds us. The Gemara here asks, who is the Tanu who holds that two prohibitions take effect upon a single item, whether it's through an Isser Kola, an Isser Mosiv, and an Isser Basachas? And Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, that's Rav Meir, for it was taught in the Mishnah, Yesh Ocha Achila Achas V'chai V'leo Arba Chatos V'Ashem Echad. There's one who does one act of eating and is chai for four Chatos offerings and one Ashem. The case is a tummy person who ate chelov that was noosed from consecrated offerings on Yom Kippur. Rav Meir says that if it was Shabbos and he carried it out in his mouth before swallowing, he would be chai a fifth offering. So we see from here the Rav Meir holds of all three types of prohibitions, including an Isser Basachas. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chelov that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father was rushing, had the wrong baby circumcised, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, who does Rabbi Meir rule in accordance with, given that he holds that the two men who accidentally switch wives should bring chatas offerings, and answers that he holds like Rabbi Yezza that holds a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah Chayiv. Alternatively, it could be that he rules even in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua, who stated his position that a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah Pater, in the case of circumcising babies on Shabbos, this Manu Bohu, where a person's time is rushed, since there's a mitzvah to circumcise the baby on the eighth day. If he erred in that situation and circumcised the wrong baby that was not meant to be circumcised on Shabbos, he's pater. But here in the case of marrying the woman, his time is not rushed, since there's no specific day that he must marry the woman. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chelov that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father was rushing, had the wrong baby circumcised, to the horror of its mother who had gotten remarried 10 years after her first husband's death. Which reminds us, when Ravin came, he said in the name of Yochanan, any woman who waited after the death of her husband 10 years and then remarries can no longer bear children. Rav Nachman said, they did not teach this rule except when she did not plan on remarrying, but if she did plan on doing so, she can still become pregnant. The Gemara brings the case of Rav Chisda's daughter who bore children to Rav 10 years after the death of her first husband, Rabbi Bar Chama. Daf Lamed Hei, so the Simur Daf Lamed Hei is the children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's choir, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Hei, la la la. The children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna, the day after her conversion, which reminds us all women who had relations and then want to remarry need to wait 3 months, except for a woman who converted as an adult and a shifcha who was freed as an adult. When the word suggests the Rabban should be gozer for these women to wait as well, since it's common for them to have illicit relations, it answers that Shmuel's going according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a Gioris, a shvuya, a captive woman, and a shifcha do not need to wait 3 months. Abai explains the reason they do not have to wait is that a woman who engages in znus inverts herself after having relations so that she does not become pregnant. So the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door where two daughters of Kohanim got switched to their chuppas and became pasulti truma, which reminds us the Mishnah had said imhayu kohanos nipsul mina truma. If the calls were daughters of Kohanim, they are pasul from the eating of truma. Rav said that the Mishnah is teaching that if they were daughters of Kohanim who were married to Yisraelim, they are pasul from eating truma from their Kohanic homes. Rashi explains that even though a bas kohen who was violated while married to Yisrael is not prohibited to her husband, if he were to die, she would not be able to return home and eat truma. So the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door where two daughters of Kohanim got switched at their chuppas and became pasul to eat truma, while a guest who was pregnant and had done chalitza was rushed out and tragically miscarried. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Malchokas Amorim in the beginning of the fourth paragraph regarding Alcholetz Kalmuba Eres Vahipila, one who does chalitza with a pregnant woman and then she miscarries. Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need chalitza from the brother since the chalitza is now seen to be valid, whereas Reish Lakish says she does require chalitza again from one of the brothers since the first chalitza was not valid. The Gemara teaches that Malchokas can be explained based on Psukim and on Svara. Daf Lamed Vav, so the Simur Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The lulav salesman, lulav, that must be worn off, lamed vav. The lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted to the kahuna, which reminds us the reason why a woman couldn't have a chalitza done in a case where her husband and her tsar went overseas and they came back and reported that her husband was dead and it's not yet known if her tsar had a child is not because chalitza is mu'uberes l'shma chalitza, a chalitza of a pregnant woman is not a valid chalitza, even if she miscarries. Rather, it's because perhaps the tzara had a viable child, and it will come out that you'll require an announcement that she's fit to marry into the kahuna. It would be declared that her earlier chalitza was not effective, and she's not a chalitza to be forbidden to kohanim. The Gemara clarifies that we're concerned that if someone was not at the announcement, they might come to think we're permitting a chalitza to a kohen. So the lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted at the kahuna because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away. Which reminds us, Rava says the halacha goes according to Reish Lakish in the case where a father signed over his properties to his son to be acquired after the father's death and where the father retains rights to the produce. If the son sold the property during his father's lifetime and the son died during the father's lifetime, Reish Lakish says, the buyer has acquired the property upon the father's death, since kinyan peres lavka kinyan aguf, the ownership of the rights to the produce, which the father still had, is not considered as if he still owns the land. So the lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted at the kahuna because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away, after being told he had to give his Yavam a divorce because he did Yibum prematurely, risking violating the Isser of Eshazach. Which reminds us, if one marries his Yavamah and she's found to be pregnant, if the child is not viable, he keeps her as his wife. The Gemara here brings a brice with an opposing opinion that taught, in the name of Beleza, they said, Yotzi beget, he must divorce with a get. Rashi explains that even though the Yibum is valid since the child was not viable, the Rabbanim penalized him and required divorce because by marrying the Yavamah who was possibly pregnant, he risked violating the Jeraisa Isser of Eshazach. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.